Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is my co-host.
Great to be here. We have a lot of movement happening in the shadows of the Lions roster today.
We do. The dog days of August are when front offices start making those tough evaluations. We're spending a good chunk of today's show looking at a couple of cornerbacks who were in the news over the weekend.
One is a former All-Pro trying to find a new home in Detroit, and the other is a former Lion trying to find a second chance somewhere else.
It is a fascinating study in how NFL teams manage risk, injuries, and off-field issues. Plus, later in the show, we will get you ready for the Tigers' big matchup tonight against Cleveland, and we'll touch on a trade rumor floating around the Red Wings.
We have plenty of ground to cover.
Moving on to the Lions. Over the weekend, the front office held a tryout that raised plenty of eyebrows. They brought in former Dallas Cowboys cornerback Trayvon Diggs.
That is a name I did not expect to see on the workout list.
Same here. We're talking about a guy who was the peak of the position just a few years ago. In 2021, Diggs led the entire NFL with 11 interceptions. He was a first-team All-Pro. He followed it up with another Pro Bowl season in 2022.
Dallas paid him like a superstar, too. They handed him a 5-year, $97 million extension. He was supposed to be the anchor of their secondary for a decade.
But the wheels fell off, and it was entirely due to injuries. Over the last three seasons, 2023, 2024, and 2025, Diggs has only managed to play in 22 total games.
It started with that ACL tear in 2023. That is a tough blow for a defensive back who relies heavily on closing speed and jumping routes. And then you add the concussion issues that followed. It is a rough sequence of events for a player who was on top of the league.
The Lions worked him out alongside a handful of other free agents, but they did not offer him a contract before he left town. His football future is completely up in the air right now.
Which brings up the obvious question. Why even bring him in? Is Brad Holmes concerned about the depth in the Lions' secondary right now?
I think you have to be. We are getting into the late stages of summer training camp. This is when front offices start looking closely at the back end of the roster and realizing they might be one twisted ankle away from a problem.
But is Trayvon Diggs actually the answer to a depth problem? When a player has been sidelined that extensively by knee surgeries and head injuries, you are taking on a substantial amount of risk. Even on a veteran minimum deal, you need guys who can stay on the field.
That is the calculation they are making. You are weighing the memory of those 11 interceptions against the reality of a guy who has barely played half a season's worth of football over the last 3 years.
And cornerback is an unforgiving position. If you lose half a step because your knee doesn't have the same spring, opposing quarterbacks will expose you immediately. You can't hide a slow corner.
Exactly. Diggs built his reputation on taking chances. He jumped routes, he read the quarterback's eyes, and broke on the ball. You need explosive acceleration to play that style. If he guesses wrong now and doesn't have the recovery speed, it is an automatic touchdown.
I find it interesting that he left without a deal. That usually means one of two things. Either the medical staff saw something in his knee they did not like, or Diggs and his agent are asking for more money than a tryout player usually commands.
Or maybe Holmes just wanted to update his emergency list. General managers do this all the time. You bring a guy in, put him through drills, get a baseline for his physical condition, and then send him home. If one of your starters goes down in week three, you know exactly who to call.
You also have to consider the ripple effect in the locker room. If you bring in a high-profile guy like Diggs, even on a tryout, it sends a message to the younger corners currently fighting for a spot. It tells them their jobs are not safe, which is exactly what a coaching staff wants in August. You want that urgency. But it also highlights the reality that the front office isn't entirely comfortable with the bottom of the depth chart.
And look at the timeline. He tore his ACL in 2023. We are in August 2026. That is nearly three full years of recovery, setbacks, and secondary injuries like the concussions. At what point does a player just lose the physical tools that made him special?
Some guys never get it back. The mental hurdle of trusting your knee again is often harder than the physical rehab. When you play defensive back, you have to plant your foot and change direction in a fraction of a second. If you hesitate because you don't trust your joint, you are beaten.
Diggs had 11 picks in 1 year. That requires supreme confidence. If that confidence is gone, he's just another guy.
And the league moves fast. The receivers he is facing now are younger and faster than the ones he covered in 2021. I just don't see a path where he steps into a starting role and dominates again.
I agree. Someone will take a chance, but it might require an injury elsewhere in the league for a roster spot to open up.
For now, the Lions pass, but it is definitely a situation to monitor if our secondary struggles early in the season. We cannot talk about Lions cornerbacks without addressing the guy they let go earlier this summer. Former first-round pick Terrion Arnold is attempting an NFL comeback, and he is doing it with the defending Super Bowl champions.
Arnold visited the Seattle Seahawks recently. He has also met with the Houston Texans. It seems like his market is starting to heat up.
Which is surprising when you consider why he is available in the first place. The Lions drafted Arnold in the first round just 2 years ago, in 2024. He was supposed to be a cornerstone piece for the defense. Then, late this past June, Detroit released him abruptly.
And they had to. You cannot keep a guy on the roster when he is facing the kinds of charges Arnold is dealing with. We are talking about felony charges for kidnapping and armed robbery.
The details of the arrest were serious. Detroit acted fast and cut ties, eating whatever dead cap was associated with his rookie deal. They decided the legal and public relations risks were simply too high.
But the NFL is a league that constantly weighs talent against trouble. And clearly, teams like Seattle and Houston are looking at his physical pedigree and wondering if the risk is worth the potential reward.
It is the oldest story in professional sports. If you can run fast and cover elite receivers, someone will give you a second, third, or fourth chance.
But kidnapping and armed robbery? Those aren't minor infractions. Those are severe criminal charges that carry significant prison time if he is convicted. Taking a flyer on a player facing a trial like that says a lot about a franchise's risk tolerance.
Seattle just won the bowl. When you have a championship culture and a strong locker room, head coaches and general managers often believe they can absorb a troubled player. They think their established leaders will keep the guy in line.
The confidence of winning. They think the culture will fix the person. But a pending felony trial is a distraction that can derail a season, regardless of how strong your leadership council is. You have reporters asking questions, court dates pulling the player away from practice, and the looming threat of the league stepping in with a suspension.
The NFL's personal conduct policy gives the commissioner broad authority to place a player on the commissioner's exempt list. Even if Seattle signs him, there is no guarantee he is allowed to play a single down this season while the legal process plays out.
Which makes the tryout even more puzzling.
Why bring that media circus to your facility for a guy who might not even be eligible? Because he was a first-round pick out of Alabama. He possesses elite physical traits. If a front office believes they can stash him on the roster, navigate the legal proceedings, and eventually get a first-round talent on a minimum contract, they will explore it.
The Seahawks aren't the only ones looking. The Houston Texans also met with him. So you have multiple front offices looking at the same police reports and deciding they want to hear his side of the story. They want to look him in the eye and see if they can manage the situation. But think about the logistics. If he signs, he has to balance NFL practices and meetings with court appearances and meetings with his defense attorneys. Not to mention the media scrutiny. The moment he steps onto a practice field, every camera is pointed at him. Every press conference becomes about his legal status rather than the upcoming opponent. Coaches hate distractions. Pete Carroll isn't in Seattle anymore, so Mike McDonald is trying to establish his own culture there. Does a first-year head coach want to take on a project with this much baggage? Well, they won the bowl last year, so McDonald clearly has some leeway. When you have a ring, ownership gives you the benefit of the doubt on roster gambles.
True, but armed robbery is a line most teams will not cross, regardless of how fast a guy runs the 40-yard dash. The Lions meet the right call cutting him in June. They identified the problem, absorbed the financial hit, and removed the distraction. It shows a level of maturity in the Lions' front office. They didn't fall into the sunk cost fallacy. They drafted him in the first round, they had high hopes, But when the facts changed, they changed their minds. That is how winning organizations operate. You don't let one mistake compound into a larger cultural issue. We will keep an eye on where Arnold lands, if he lands anywhere at all. Let someone else deal with the headache.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Lead the way.
Tonight, the Tigers host the Cleveland Guardians at Comerica Park. First pitch is scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Eastern.
This is the start of a critical three-game series. It's mid-August, so divisional matchups carry heavy postseason implications. The AL Central race is extremely tight right now.
The big storyline here is Cleveland's bullpen. They made some roster adjustments at the trade deadline, but they have been struggling late in games. Relief pitching has been a major talking point for them.
Detroit has to capitalize on that. If the Tigers can keep the game close through the first six innings, they have a real chance to do damage against a vulnerable Guardians bullpen. We will see if they can string together some late-inning momentum tonight.
Over on the ice, Heavy.com highlighted a hypothetical trade pitch from Puck GM that has the Red Wings sending star defenseman Moritz Seider to the Carolina Hurricanes. Just to be clear, this is entirely speculative fan and analyst chatter. No team officials have confirmed any talks. But the proposed return package is large. Restricted free agent Alexander Nikishin, forward Bradley Nadeau, and three first-round picks. Seider just signed a 7-year, $59.85 million extension. That carries an $8.55 million cap hit through the 2030-31 season. He is a franchise cornerstone. Exactly. You don't trade a durable, top-tier defenseman in your prime when you are trying to complete a roster retooling. Plus, Carolina already has a tight projected payroll, so absorbing an $8.55 million hit seems unrealistic anyway. Fun to think about, but it's just internet noise. That is going to do it for this edition of the Motor City Sports Rundown. We covered a lot of ground today, from the secondary shuffles in Allen Park to the Diamond downtown.
Make sure you keep an eye on that Tigers game tonight. If the bats can get to the Cleveland bullpen early, it could set the tone for the entire series.
Right. We will be back on Wednesday to break down how that series is unfolding, and we'll keep tracking the Lions' roster moves as training camp winds down.
Until then, enjoy the games.
Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.